Psalm 95, verse 2 and 3. Now, preacher, why should we thank him? Verse 2, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Now, in order to thank him, sometimes we need to assemble. We just need to get together, and a whole bunch of us need to praise the Lord. Look at Psalm 100, verse 4. Psalm 100, verse 4. Now, people say, well, preacher, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Sometimes you need to go to church to praise him together. I love it when my children praise me, but I love it more when they're all together doing it. Amen? And look, it shows the world. It shows the world that it's not just one person down there on the job that believes this stuff, but there's a whole bunch of people believe it. And they believe it enough to get together. You know, if you don't go to church but on Sunday morning and you don't go to Sunday school, you only go to church 4 hours a month. Four hours a month. If you didn't eat no better than that, you'd die. And then a lot of people don't even come that much. They'll miss a Sunday or two and only come on Sunday mornings. So now they're only going 1 or 2 hours a month. A month! Now you think God pleased with that. No, sir. God wants his children to get all together, and he wants us to praise the Lord. Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Now, I know he's talking about the temple, but he said, enter his gates. Go in there in his name and go in there and thank him in there as well as out there. God inhabits the praise of his people. You see, I really think that I think there's some good Christians. I think there's some good preachers and pastors around. And I think they never feel the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit because they're doctrinally right. They're teaching the Bible right. They believe the Bible right. They're teaching it. But they're doing it in such a way that it's more like a book report, and nobody praises the Lord, and nobody testifies, and nobody thanks God out loud, and God inhabits the praise of his people, and he's not there until they start recognizing his presence and thanking him for what he does. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? Man, I tell you, I've been in some dead churches. I just soon went to the cemetery. Amen? I just soon went to the cemetery. I'm not talking about wildfires. I'm not talking about making stuff up. I'm talking about people just lifting their hand every once in a while and saying, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. And then you start feeling him move in when you do things like that. Because, see, he wants to be recognized. And he wants to be thanked. And there's a lot of thankless people. And I hate to say this, but there appears to be a lot of thankless Christians who say they're believers, but they never express their thanks in his mercy that endures for them forever. See, I just think we'll to thank him more, we'll to praise him more. I don't mind it when people come here and leave and say a bunch of Baptists. I don't see a thing wrong with that. Go ahead. If you're associating me and my church with the day of Pentecost where people got excited about being saved and they stood up publicly and praised the Lord and thanked the Lord, amen. Go ahead. Say that. I don't care if they call me a fanatic. If they're calling me a fanatic because I publicly get together with a bunch of Christians and I thank the Lord publicly and out loud and in the congregation, and I enter his gates with thanksgiving, if they're calling me a fanatic for that, hallelujah, I'm guilty. Amen. I'd rather be guilty of that than a lot of other things. Say amen right there. All right, I got him going. Listen, we ought to go to church with thankful hearts and a thankful attitude. And, you know, some people, they want me to sit down during the week and counsel with them. And I've done it recently with some. But then when it comes time to go to church, I don't see them. Now, I'm going to start telling those people, I'm not giving you private church service. You need to come to church. You don't need counseling. You need old-fashioned, barnstorming, window-rattling, shingle-pulling, spitting three rows preaching. Amen. That's holy spit, by the way. Say amen right there. All right. Now, listen. There's no such thing as private things. You remember that song we used to sing? We used to teach our children's churches. If you're happy and you know it, say amen. Amen. If you're happy and you know it, say amen. Amen. Well, you know what? If you say amen by yourself, who heard it? If you're the only one there, what kind of praise is God getting for that if you're the only one around to hear it? He wants to be praised. He wants to be magnified. He wants to be thanked. And that's why we go to church, not only to fellowship with one another, not only to study the Scripture, not only to be exhorted or expounded on things, but so that we can, as to Christians together, thank God for how good He is and that His mercy endure forever. We'll do it. We'll do it. Psalm 107, verse 8. Psalm 107, verse 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Did you know you'll do it with your mouth? Now, I said you ought to go to church and do it, and that's true. But then you ought to do it everywhere you go with your mouth. I have people say, I say, you ever witness anybody down there where you work? Well, they can, no, I try to live it in front of them. There's a lot of good lost people that live better than we do. Amen? Now, let's just be honest. Some of these Muslims, if you're talking about living separated and having on enough clothes, they must be going to heaven then. And that's what the world thinks. So we're supposed to open our mouth and publicly praise the Lord, and that gets God glory, and it convicts the lost and dying world when you do that. You know, tomorrow's Thanksgiving, and I'd say over half the Christians won't even say a Thanksgiving blessing before they cut the stinking turkey. Because they're afraid they're going to offend some of their relatives. Well, I wouldn't call it offensive. I would call it conviction. If they don't want to hear you pray about the goodness of God and His blessings and how thankful you are, let them stay at home. Yeah, I said that. Because this is who you are. If you're a child of God, you ought to thank God and praise God publicly. And He said, with your mouth. He said, well, I do it by living good. Well, that's wonderful. I'm glad you live good. But they don't know why you're doing that. And you ought to tell them why you're doing that. When people look at you and say, you don't drink, do you? Say, no, I'm a Christian. When people look at you and say, oh, you don't go out to the parties and the clubs and stuff. Say, no, I'm a Christian. And then it'll give you the opportunity to say something about the Lord, see? But if you get lockjaw and you don't say anything in public, then how's anybody going to get saved? Because those people's not going to come to church unless you talk to them. They don't know anybody down here. The hardest part to going to church is going somewhere you don't know anybody. Asked Jeffrey after his wife brought him over here and they drove up in the churchyard. He said, I don't know if I'm going in there or not. He did. And I played the piano. And we driving his truck in the Christmas parade. And he's playing the organ only in the Christmas parade. But see, if you don't know somebody in the church, it's hard to go. I'm a preacher. I'm a pastor. Been this way a long time. It's hard for me to go to a new church. See? Because you don't know what they expect, and you don't know if they're going to like you or hate you or whatever. But if you go around all the time thanking the Lord out loud and praising the Lord out loud, people eventually will ask you. The Bible says that, the hope that's within you. They want to know, what is this stuff? What is this about you? There's something different about you. I've had them say that many a time. You know, there's something different about you. What is it? You say, well, I'm a Christian, if that's what you mean. And that is what they mean. They just don't want to say it because they don't know what a Christian really is, and they're afraid that they'll accuse you of being something you're not, and it will offend you. So just go ahead and tell them you are. Say, yeah, I'm a Christian. I got saved March 5th, 1978. I love the Lord, and He loves me. You ought to go to church with me Sunday. Just throw it in there all at one time. And on the job, whenever something happens, say, praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. You know, you get a little raise and all of them stand around counting their money about the raise and they look at you and they say, did you get one? You say, amen, thank the Lord. When I went to work at Kanawha Insurance Company, I had to take that job part, well, might as well say full time, but I had to take that job to supplement my income. And my brother-in-law, Buddy Gill, taught me into going. And I went in there, and some of those guys, and almost all of them claimed to be Christian, all those insurance agents. Most of them claimed to be, a lot of them are. And so they was telling a little, not really dirty, but kind of dark, on the edge, jokes. And I ain't laughing at them. And they'd have little sexual innuendos. They wouldn't come right out and say things, but little dirty things, you know. They wouldn't come all the way out, but they'd insinuate things. And I'd laugh at them. And I'd work with people, and when something good would happen, I'd say, amen. And I'd come in the morning, and some of these guys that work with me say, how you doing? I'd say, doing good, praise the Lord. And things would happen, I'd say, well, glory to God. And my manager called me in there for my first year's evaluation, and he said, Ron, I just want to tell you something. Since you came here, we have had to change our vocabulary. He said, that's all I hear around here is, amen, brother. Praise God, brother. Hallelujah, brother. Glory to God, brother. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. He said, you got everybody doing it. I said, it sounds a lot better than it did when I first come. He said, you're right. But see, they don't know that's God that does that. That's not me or you. But they see the difference and they feel the difference because somebody had the courage to open their mouth. And by the way, most of them respected it. Most of them honored it. And his manager came in a meeting one time and said something about me and some things, you know, about the insurance business, stuff like that. Hey, never had to worry about me, you know. I don't have to worry about Ron Roddy, you know, and stuff like that. So what I'm saying is this. Here it is, Thanksgiving, and tomorrow we're going to have people that's afraid to give thanks out loud. And of all the people in the world, we'll be the most thankful of all. Now, I grew up in a poor house. I'm going to tell you something. I'm thankful for every day of my life, even while I was poor. Thank you. Amen? Now, we didn't have a Christian home, but we had Thanksgiving. We was appreciative of what we did have. And I meet a lot of Christians that are not as appreciative and thankful as we were as lost people. We want to be more thankful. And we'll do it out in the public. And he says, praise him with your mouth. Praise him with your mouth. Yeah, you ought to praise him with the way you dress. You ought to praise him with the way you walk and the way you work and do everything as unto the Lord and do it with all your might. But you ought to say something. Because there's people out there hunting for what we got. They just don't know that that's what they're looking for. But if they could find somebody, a Christian, that was really thankful for what God has done for them and His mercy and His grace and His long-suffering and His goodness, they might ask you some questions instead of you having to ask them. I better go on. 2 Corinthians 9:14. I'm going to get y'all home in time to baptize the turkey so you can cook him tomorrow. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Say amen right there. You left off right there. Amen. Amen right there. Amen right there. There you go. I got to do something to keep him awake. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. Who was it had a baby in here Sunday? Cheryl had a baby in here? No, Cheryl didn't have a baby. Cheryl didn't have the baby. Her daughter-in-law had the baby, but Cheryl was holding it. But the baby slept. The baby slept. I said, he must be heavily medicated. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. Verse 15 says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And without controversy, that means there's no question, no arguing about it. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. You see, he said God, not Jesus Christ, because they're one. He said, now that's a great mystery. And then he says, well, to thank God for that unspeakable gift. It's a mysterious thing, salvation is. Christianity is a mysterious thing. It's a spiritual thing. It's not carnal. It's not of this world. It's not earthly. Christianity is a spiritual experience. It's a spiritual life. Now, it's almost unexplainable. He said it's an unspeakable gift. He said it's a mystery. And well, thank God that we have a gift so great that we can't even explain it. You try to witness to people sometimes. They sit there and look at you like, huh? What did you say? Were you sober? Were you on drugs or something? Really, that's the way lost people act. Because they're blind. Because 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, for the natural man understands not the things of the spirit, for they're spiritually discerned. See? So, we have a mystery. We have an unspeakable gift that God has given us, and we can't even hardly explain it. That's why faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, not your testimony. Now, your testimony is a good door opener. Your testimony will get people to probably like you, and it'll probably think a lot of you. You know, they had one boss lady one time. We got in the break room, and I had witnessed her, and all these people come into lunch, and she said, listen, Ron Roddy's told me about his life. You all need to hear the story of Ron Roddy's life. He's picked himself up by his own bootstraps. I said, whoa, wait a minute. That ain't what I told you. I said, if you get anything good out of me, Jesus did it. Jesus did it all. I didn't do that. He did that. But it gave me an opportunity to witness to 10 office workers all at the same time. But I couldn't see, as far as my testimony, that made her like me. See, where I come from and what God's done for me. And it'll make people think a lot of you because they'll think, boy, a strong person, a victorious person over so many obstacles in their life. But then you give them the word of God, and faith will come by hearing the word of God, not your testimony. Because you see, it's so mysterious and it's so unspeakable that they don't understand what you're talking about. So you got to give them the word of God. And the word of God, God will reveal himself through his word, see. Somebody told me one day, said, preacher, I can't explain how I got saved. I said, nobody can. I said, it was a supernatural experience by a supernatural spirit. And you can't explain that naturally because it was supernatural. I can't explain how God created the earth. That was a supernatural creation. But I know he did. I can tell you he did. I just can't explain it. I know he divided the night from the day. I know he did. I can see it, but I can't explain how he did that, see. It's super. He did that supernaturally. But I believe that by faith, see. And so by faith, he gives me the ability to receive it. But then I still can't explain what happened. I can tell you, March 5th, 1978, 6th pew on the left-hand side, Eastside Baptist Church, about 12:15, the 300th verse of Just As I Am Without One Plea. That's what it felt like. I asked the Lord to help me move my foot, and I come down that aisle, and I was crying, I was weeping, and as I was coming down, the burdens was being lifted, the guilt, the shame, and all these things were being lifted off of me, and my heart was being cleansed, and I had no idea what all that meant. I didn't grow up in church. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I just wanted to stay out of hell. And I come up there and told that preacher, and he hugged my neck and told me that he'd been praying for me and that God desired to save me. And they took me in the room. And Wayne Henson took some scriptures. He didn't know, he didn't have to. I was saved before I ever got in that room. All they had to do was read me the scriptures to show me how I got saved. I didn't know I was saved, and the scriptures explained that I was saved, and so I asked the Lord to save me, but he saved me the moment I said, help me move my foot, and I'll go down there and do whatever I got to do. But then I went in that room. Everything changed. I walked down that church that day, and the sky was bluer, and I loved everybody. I didn't hate anybody anymore, and the guilt was gone, and all those things. And for the first time in my life, I knew what love really was, you know, the love of God shed abroad in my heart. And I can tell you all that, but I can't explain it. It's a mystery. It's a supernatural thing. It's an unspeakable gift. Now, in a few days, I'm going to go get my wife some Christmas gifts. I am. And they're going to be good. Ain't they? Say amen right there. They're going to be good. Right now, they're mysterious. They're unspeakable because I don't even know what they are. But when I come out of that store, hey, it will be easily seen and understood. I got saved that day, and I went to work, and I tried to tell people. One fella even told me. He was one of my best friends at the time. He even told me. He got on the other side of that machine as I started telling him how I got saved, the stuff I just told you. He got on the other side of that big old die range, and he stood up there, and I was far away from that wall. He said, was you down at Connie's? Some of y'all don't remember Connie's. It was a beer joint. So, was you down at Club 9? Was you drunk? I said, no, you can't get this out of a bottle, man. He said, stay away from me. It scared him. He couldn't understand it. It scared him. And then word got back to the best man in my wedding, an old friend, teenage friend, grew up with. And best man, my wedding. Word got back down to him, and he told the fellow that told him. He said, Ron Rye's a hypocrite. He said, why would you say that? He said, because nobody can change that much. And that fellow said, you're right, but God can change somebody that much. Now, you see, he couldn't explain that to him. And later on, I went and tried to explain it to him. But and even though he grew up in the church, in a religious family, he still couldn't understand it. It was a mystery to him, and it was unexplainable, unspeakable to me. I just couldn't, and I tried, and I wept the last time I saw him, and I tried and tried. And far as I know, he died without Christ. Look, folks, it's a gift that's so good that it's a mystery to the sinner. It was to me and you. I once was blind, but now I see. God had to do that. But it's undescribable. It's a mystery to the sinner, and it's undescribable by the saint. Sometimes I pray, I say, Lord, I wish I had a better vocabulary. I wish I could speak better. I wish I could get people to understand things better. I wish, Lord, I was more eloquent. I wish I wasn't such a redneck, country-sounding hick. Lord, I wish you'd just give me better words, you know, and things like that. Because I can't describe things like I want to describe things. And then I stop and think, well, they're indescribable. There's not enough words in the dictionary to describe a supernatural act of God in your heart and your mind and your soul. We'll be thankful for it. And you know what I really think? I think there's a lot of sinners that are curious about what we have. But we're afraid to talk to them because we realize we don't have the vocabulary. And we don't have the words. But I got good news for you. It's not your job. It's the Word of God. You're the living testimony. They need the living Word. That's how to get saved. They love you because of your great testimony, but they'll love Him when you point them to the Savior and the Word of God, see? All you got to do is open your mouth. Did you know sometimes I quote Scripture, I didn't even know I knew? I may not know the address. Sometimes I don't know the address. But I'll know the whole scripture perfectly. And you know what would happen? If you'd open your mouth publicly and thank God more, same thing would happen. If Christians would just open their mouth, God wants to speak, and you're His mouthpiece. You say, I'm scared, preacher. I am too. But preacher, I'm shy. I am too. But preacher, I'm afraid I'll mess it up. You can't mess up a work of God. Did you know, and by the way, most people you're talking to don't know what the Bible says anyway, so even if you did misquote the verse, they wouldn't know. A lot of church members don't. A lot of preachers don't. I had a man ask me a question last night. He said, he named three or four preachers, pastors. He said, they're supposed to know the Bible. Why can't they answer this question? And he asked me the question, and I turned to him in the book of Mark, and I read him the scripture. I said, there's your answer right there. And it's plain to see and plain to understand. And he saw it, and he understood it. He said, why couldn't those other preachers show me that? I said, maybe they're just not reading the Bible. I said, if you'd show up on Sundays, I do this stuff every Sunday. I'll help you if you let me. You see what I'm saying? You can't mess it up. God's Word's going to do the work. All we have to do is thank Him publicly, praise Him publicly, gather together so the world can see that we still love Him and praise Him and honor Him, and then God does the work. We just live it. He does. Say amen right there, sir. Now listen to me. Tomorrow we're going to have Thanksgiving. And at my house, we're going to have Thanksgiving. And I hope you do at your house. Because see, at my house, there's going to be at least one person that needs to hear it. At least one. And I know if that's the case at my house, most other people are going to have more than one that need to hear it. And if you're afraid to talk out loud and thank the Lord out loud, do it in a prayer. Do it in a prayer. This fellow told me one time, he told me, I tried to win him to the Lord, he wouldn't get saved. I said, can I take the Bible and show you some scripture? He said, no, I'd rather you didn't. I said, can I pray for you? He said, sure, can't hurt to pray for me. So I prayed for him. I said, Lord, you know who this fella is. You know where he is. You know what he's doing. You know what he needs. And then I started quoting scripture. And I said, Lord, you know he needs to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved in thy house. I said, Lord, you know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I said, Lord, you know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Lord, I'm sure this man needs to know that, and he needs to hear that, Lord. And I want to thank you for what you're going to start doing in his life, and how you're going to speak to him, and how you're going to convict him of his sins, and how one day he's going to be saved. He wouldn't let me do it the other way, so I did it in a prayer. And I said, in Jesus' name, amen. He said, thank you, preacher. So over your turkey tomorrow, you say, God, I just want to thank you. You've been so good to us. Not only do we have this big old turkey and we got all these fixings and we got a wonderful place to live and we got a wonderful family and everybody's healthy and everybody's well and everybody's loving, but Lord God, I want to thank you that you said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house, and this is my house and I'm saved and all these people belong to my family. That includes them, Lord. And I want to go ahead and thank you for saving every one of them before it's over with. And Lord, if they don't know you, I pray you convict them. And Lord, save them before it's too late. And bless the turkey in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm serious. And then when they're sitting over eating, they say, man, this is a good turkey. Say, thank the Lord. And they're eating that dressing. They say, man, ma'am, you make the best dressing in town. Say, all good gifts come from the Father above. See, you can throw it in there anywhere. And then God gets the glory, not you, but God will. Tomorrow's Thanksgiving. Let's do it. Let's do it. You say, preacher, I ain't got much to be thankful about. If you walked in here, you got a whole lot to be thankful about. Well, preacher, I don't have any money in the bank. You got a roof over your head. You ought to praise God. You say, well, I don't have a big fancy car. Well, if you had a bicycle, I rode bicycles to work and back. If you got a bicycle, you'll say, thank God I got a bicycle. If you can't got that, say, thank God I got feet to walk on. Amen. Thank God I'm healthy enough to walk. We've always got things we can thank the Lord for. And boy, I look back over my past and I see all those years I was not thankful. And now I'm thankful that God let me live through those years long enough that He revealed Himself to me and saved me and keep me and bless me. And now, even though I have regrets about those past years, I'm thankful that He didn't let me die and go to hell. I'm thankful that He let me keep my family. He let me keep my health. And then He saved me. Amen? Let's stand. Father, thank You for Your mercy, Your grace, Your long-suffering, Your goodness. Thank You we get to live in America, God, and celebrate a Thanksgiving Day. Thank You for our families, God. We've got some wonderful families in this church. Thank You for our church family, God. Thank You for everyone that enters these doors and goes back out again, that they hear the Word of God. And Lord, thank You for those that are faithful. And thank You for those who are not faithful, Lord. And thank You for those who have been saved and those who will be saved. And Lord, thank You, thank You, thank You for a wife and children and I still got a mama, Lord. I can't. Woo, 98 years old. Thank You, Lord. Lord, thank You. Thank You for letting me live long enough to see this. What a blessing. You're so good to us. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Oh, thank You. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's